email you sent me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, hi. Welcome to everybody who is either if you're live tonight or if you're listening by demand. We thank you for checking in our show. Again, this is the Transformation Cafe. And I'm kind of excited tonight because this is going to be kind of a girls' night. Miss Gloria and I are just kind of sitting here, and we thought we would do some chatting about everything kind of from a girl perspective. So any of you other ladies that want to go ahead and call on in and get ahead and come up to the table, we'll like scoot on in and have a wonderful conversation. We invite you to do that. The number again is 646-727-3206. Or you can go ahead and come into the chat room and we'll insert a conversation there. So I want to, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
You know, today is one of the best days. It's been an absolutely gorgeous day.
Yes, it has been very gorgeous today. Just to kind of remind everybody, I'm in Riverside, California, and Miss Gloria is in the San Diego area. And we have been having kind of a heat spell probably for the last couple of weeks. Of course, you know, nothing like what they've been experiencing back east with the humidity and stuff like that. But it has been warmer than normal for what we've been going on. And it just cooled off, and it's just been heavenly. Really has been. And you know what? I don't know if it's you, since we're kind of just chatting tonight. I have noticed that the birds sound different. Have you noticed that?
The birds have always sounded different to me. I love to listen to them. And, you know, and one of my main questions has always been, why do birds sing? You know, what is it that compels them within their nature to sing? Just the sound of a bird just elevates the human heart so much. And I believe it was you that actually said that's what they're programmed to do.
Yeah, I think they are. Well, I can remember when I had first started doing just, you know, my morning journaling, like in the art of, if anybody's interested, knows about the artist way, Julia Cameron, gosh, I think it's been 30 years now since she started her program for connecting to yourself and just more creativity and things like that. And one of the things she really encourages you to do through that program is to get up every morning before you do anything else, except maybe go potty, and basically just write 3 pages of longhand writing a day. And in doing that, it's amazing when you show up every morning to the page with a pen in hand and just write 3 pages. And you basically, the only requirement you have is just to keep your pen moving. And it's been phenomenal for me. And what's interesting for me is that I kind of do it on and off. The first few years that I got introduced to it, I did to it a lot. But it's as I've just kind of grown to my spirituality and just my sense of self. There'll be times when I just kind of take a break from that and don't do it for a while. But lately, I've been feeling like doing that. But through all that, I had introduced the concept to my daughters, and my older daughter came to me one day, and I think she was only about maybe 8 at the time, and she said, Mom, I had something really interesting when I did my pages this morning. And I said, oh, what's that? And she said, it said that the birds sing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, isn't that interesting? So Mr. Jamie has decided to come in and to scoot up to the table. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I had to find a parking place.
I know. It's been really busy out there lately, and we thought we were going to have a girls' night, so there you go. But that's okay. We always are grateful to have you come on in and give the Jamie perspective. Life is good. So thank you for joining us, sir. That's awesome.
Well, here I am.
Here he is. Okay. So we were talking a little bit about, because I have noticed lately that, well, especially in the Riverside area, Riverside, California, we've been having a lot more swallows. And if you're familiar with California, the swallows usually go back to San Juan Capistrano. What time of year is that, Gloria? Do you know?
Let's see. I think it's early summer.
Early summer? Okay.
Because they nest. They nest along there, and I believe
and
that...
And they migrate. There's a migration that they do. Yeah.
Right. And I thought that it was the May-June time of the year.
Uh-huh.
But
I
don't have
it was right. Because about that time, I think I can remember late June, or I mean late May, early June, that... there were two or three different areas, pockets of Riverside, and what was interesting too is they're close to the freeways, where there would just be just this flock of swallows that were just kind of flying around, and they're so cute because they're just so little, they're very small birds, and they just seem to be hanging out in Riverside. It's interesting. I never really noticed them before. Maybe they've been here, but this is the first year I've really noticed them. So I think it's kind of interesting.
It could be that they've been looking for new paths. I know that at one point they were concerned about them coming back to San Juan Capistrano and the population based on the changing weather patterns and the area for them to be able to nest, because they would be attracted based upon the climate as well as the location and the availability to nest.
Not really.
So at one point I heard them talking about how their migration patterns may be changing, and they were concerned about them coming back to San Juan or not.
I wonder, because the jet stream has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the equator, since the poles, magnetic poles have shifted, maybe they've also, their migration has shifted. Why not? I mean, it would, on a certain level, it would make common sense that they would, you know. Because, you know, they're very sensitive to all that stuff being changed.
Right.
I thought about that, so there you go. Very interesting. So we have Dr. Ward, Dr. Stephen Ward was going to come on tonight. I double-checked with him, and he had something come up last minute. He promises he's going to come next week. So there you go. I think we're just going to have him buy a dessert and coffee for all of us. What do you think? Because he's promised 2 weeks in a row, and things have been happening for him. So that's exciting, but yet we're like, hey, you know, we want him to come to the cafe. So I kind of just checked into some really interesting things that have been going on the last week. So I'm also going to invite Mr. Jamie if anything comes up, because he's Mr. News. He's our news guy. He always has interesting information. And she's like, uh-oh, here she goes.
Well, you know, I just saw that Betty Ford died.
Yeah, Betty Ford had passed away, and actually they're doing a lot of wonderful memorials for all the contributions of things that she's done in her life. She was 93, wasn't it?
Yeah, 93.
I mean, what a contribution especially with 12-step programs and, you know, with addictive programs and really helping people to, make it to something where, you know, it's not such a shame-based thing where you can go in there and just get the help you need. I think that's just really wonderful. I mean, so many people have been able to go in there and just have their life totally changed. So, really thank her for that.
So I want to ask, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase fake Democrats?
A fake Democrat?
Yeah.
A fake Democrat. Well, no, it's somebody who's a Republican that's being a Democrat just to see what everybody, how they're getting sway votes and opinions.
Well, according to a newscast, there are fake Democrats in Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh. How can this be?
I know. What's next? The second son. Oh, my goodness.
Wait a minute. I thought there was two sons. What are you talking about?
Oh, I forgot. You're from that other part of the universe.
Yeah, you're from that other planet. Yeah, okay. That makes total sense now. Okay, Robin's figured that one out. How many people, you know, whether choose who choose a Republican or Democrat when they're actually more just basically wanting to keep themselves open to vote what they want to vote, as opposed to feeling like you have to stay with a certain party?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Apparently they were registered as Republicans but running as a Democrat.
Oh, so we're talking about somebody running for a House or Senate position?
Right.
Oh, my
right.
goodness. Yeah, that's kind of a little bit different than somebody being a voter.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The changing of parties has been going on, like, the last couple elections. That's been happening quite a bit.
They came out of
the
closet.
The other
oh, my
side
gosh.
Of the,
it's
yeah.
a don't ask, don't tell situation.
Yeah, really. Valley, there's, you know, oh my gosh, we get into all kinds of stuff with that, you know, whether it's the, you know, the whole wiener incident or whatever. You're like, wait a minute, okay, what are we getting into here?
It makes you wonder where the Republican Party really is going.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is going. My goodness.
They're coming out of the closet.
Yeah, exactly.
A closet Democrat. They're a closet
Democrat. Yeah, literally, probably more ways than one, you know. It isn't just your party line. It's a, you know, whatever, you know. Kind of interesting.
Oh, that, well, you know, and that right there, the party line, that had such a double entendre on that one.
Yeah,
that
that's
was
a double
good.
As soon as I said that, I went, oh, okay. The whole party line thing kind of happening, yeah. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If I had my wish, everybody basically would only have two terms, just like a presidency. You only can be in, you know, any position within the, you know, for whether it's the House or the Senate, you only can go two times. You know, these lifelong positions for some of these guys, it does nothing. It just seems like there's just nothing but that, you know, increase the level of corruption.
Yeah, politics is a very weighty subject.
Yes, it is a very weighty subject. That was one thing I was kind of like, I don't like it there. So let's change subject. How about that? The space shuttle has
it
going on its last tour.
I heard.
Yes. Jamie, do you have anything more on that you want to share?
It is the last flight of this shuttle. I think it's
Atlantis.
Okay, it's the last shuttle flight, so everything they do is the last time they'll do that on the shuttle, and it's the end of the shuttle program as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the
space
station
the only way they can get up to the
the Russians will can still launch, but they don't have a shuttle, or we had a shuttle, so. But yeah.
Right. Yeah, you gotta fly to Russia, Dave, to get back up there again if you want to go.
Right.
And they're saying it's $50 million per seat. Oh my God!
I'm not really sure
that
price. I know
that
one
saying.
Of those
Russian
tycoons.
Now I was just wondering, is
that
Russian money or is that American money?
I don't know. It's a lot of money, and if you have to ask, then I guess you shouldn't have to.
Yeah,
ask.
You can't afford it if you have to ask how much it is to go. Well, you know, Virgin, he's creating his own thing where you basically are going to be able to go up and experience, zero gravity.
Virgin Galactic. Is spaceport, but I think that's kind of like suborbital, and you do experience weight difference.
Isn't the station for that in like New Mexico or Arizona, something like that?
No, it's in New Mexico, and it's kind of isolated, and they're not quite up to running yet, but I think they've sold a bunch of seats already on the first flight and some exorbitant fee, but you do experience weightlessness, and you're probably higher than and people are supposed to go, I imagine.
Well, I think you've got to go through some testing and stuff too to make sure that you can withstand the negative G's and all kinds of stuff that they have to deal with, you know, going through something like that.
I think it would be you're just probably strapped in and you go for a ride and then you come back down. I mean, you just
I definitely would have to wear some Depends if I did that. I know that, so. Oh, I have a really good joke for you guys. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. So there's this the captain of a ship, and he looks out on the horizon, and he sees a pirate ship coming. And so he goes to his second in command, and he says, "Get me my red shirt, because when we go into battle, I don't want the men seeing that I might have been wounded, continue on the fight, right?" And so a few minutes later, you know, he's got the red shirt on now, and he looks out, and there's 17 pirate ships coming toward his ship. And he looks at the second in command, and he says, "Get my brown trousers.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
I
have to get on that.
Okay.
Huh?
Oh, no, go
ahead. What's a joke? Yeah, what's a joke? Could you believe it? Yeah. Actually, you know where I got that joke from the Sundance Film Festival, the winner they had this year was a movie called Buck, B-U-C-K. And it's
the Horse Whisperer,
it's
right?
Yeah, it's The Horse Whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No, I've read about it, though.
You've read about it. It is
excellent.
I've read
about
they
it.
Had it. They had it available here last week. That's one of the things I did over the 4th of July weekend. I went to go see that.
Oh.
And oh my gosh, it's such a wonderful documentary. Because you really see him just interacting with these animals. He doesn't use he uses flags. He doesn't use a whip. He does use rope, but it's not a matter of to restrain the horse. It's basically to, you know, give a guidance level with the horse.
Now, does
he
actually whisper
how, huh?
or just talk to them?
He talks to them, but he also just, you know, he really, a lot of it he does on a very mental level. And he basically just seeks to connect with the animal. Once he connects with the animal, he says, the reason why most horses have problems with humans is they don't know what the humans want. They don't know how to anticipate what they're wanting. So there's a fear factor there because they're afraid of just the unknown of what's being expected of them.
Well, humans don't know
once
what
they know.
Want. So what are they talking
of anybody.
About?
We're talking about the movie Buck. Who's
I,
the horse
but
whisperer?
I'm saying, right? But I'm saying, you know, yeah, the horses are don't know what humans want. Well, humans don't know what human wants.
That's and you know what? That is the main underlining theme for the whole movie because that's what this guy said. I wish I could remember his name. That's what he was saying. He says my main job is to help. You know, horses deal with humans instead of humans dealing with horses. It's the other
mm-hmm.
way around.
Because mm-hmm.
he said, you know, there's nothing worse than a human being who's messed up and has a horse, you know, thinking that, you know, this horse is going to know. These horses are smarter than we are.
Well, and, you know, it's
you know?
Amazing because they really are very perceptive to the human energy. I hadn't
mm-hmm.
been on a horse in a very long time. And here north of the L.A. area, kind of going east, going north, there's an exit called Zizix. It's like XXYYXX.
Uh-huh. And I
knew some people who had decided they knew other people. And we went out to this ranch out there. And this couple had boarded horses. And so whenever they would come out, they would always take the horses out. And I hadn't been on a horse in years. I mean, years. And I ended up on this horse, and this horse wanted to gallop. Turns out he wanted to be ahead of everybody else. And we were galloping free just through the canyons with the trains running along the edges of the mountains. And it was just like rocks. And I was just thinking, oh, my God, how do you steer this thing? And I finally got in the rhythm of it because you could, if you communicated with the horse, and I, you know, he got the idea that if I pulled on the reins a bit, that I wanted
mm-hmm.
him to slow down because I was looking ahead at like river rock beds.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out, I wanted to go right. And I mean, the steering wheel, there is no steering wheel on a horse. It was
mm-hmm.
an amazing experience. And it got to the point where through the course of the afternoon, I could lean forward and I could say, okay, go left, okay, go right. And I would think it and tell the horse, and he literally would do that. I didn't have to do anything with him.
Mm-hmm. That's something the horse was through. Yeah, because he's saying when a cowboy, or I don't think you call it a cow person, but whatever, a cowboy, when you're a rider gets on the horse, your legs are an extension of the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think in your legs to move a certain direction, that horse will do that.
Yeah,
you know?
It was
so
wonderful.
It's a wonderful movie. It's inspiring. It's very thought-provoking, and it's humbling, too, just to see, you know, what we can do with a horse and how horses really impact our lives. It's just really a wonderful. I can see why it won the picture. It's really, really cute. And Robert Redford is in it, which is kind of funny because the Horse Whisperer, he's kind of one of those guys that, you know, no bones about it kind of thing. He'll just tell you how things are. And he was joking with Robert Redford, and he said, you know, he says, if this movie directing thing doesn't work out for you, I think you could be a roper. Robert Redford's looking at him like, yeah, okay.
Wasn't he the rhinestone cowboy?
Huh?
Wasn't he the rhinestone cowboy in that movie?
Yeah, with Paul Newman.
Was it Paul Newman?
Paul Newman and Robert Redford. Yeah.
Well, that was the.
You can get it out of the movie.
But yeah.
What was that movie called?
Right.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Gosh, that was a long time ago.
But he was also.
That was in the '70s.
Rhinestone Cowboy and the Rhinestone Cowboy movie, wasn't he?
Rhinestone Cowboy. Was he around? Was he the cowboy?
Yeah, you know the song Rhinestone Cowboy.
Okay. Okay. That's a while ago too.
Never mind.
You're dating yourself
youth.
There.
But,
I'm like, what?
Yeah, better stop. Boy, when y'all don't know what I'm talking about, then I better shut up. So okay.
No, well, you know, it's just all part of the conversation. That's why we're in the cafe. It's all good.
It was actually Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, well, that's
Glenn Campbell.
Off, but he didn't play in the movie, so never mind. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. No problem with that. But anyway, so if anybody has an opportunity to go see Buck or when it's in a pay-review situation, really just treat yourself to something that's a very unique opportunity to learn a lot. And what's neat is the guy that it's about, there's actually two other gentlemen that were part of the lineage of working with horses that way. Because I guess back in, it started, you know, another 30 or 40 years back from that, there was a couple other guys that basically started teaching, you know, people that way. And this present guy, he 40 weeks out of the year, he's going to do work long, you know, like 3 to 4 day workshops with people working with horses. So it's basically what he does the majority of his year. So I would love to go watch him on one, because I know that he does come to the Orange County and Riverside area. So I actually get online and see about that, because you can pay a minimal amount. Well, you know, if you don't necessarily need to have a horse, you could just go be watching the ring and stuff like that when they're working with horses. So it's not that expensive to do something like that, and that would be pretty fascinating to do something like that. So they've had a couple interesting things on Yahoo lately. I always like to look at that because sometimes there's some interesting stuff. A lot of it's gossip, but some of it's interesting. Most of it, especially with the natural stuff. They have some. Did you guys see those pictures of the frozen lakes that were up in Canada? Did you see those, Jamie?
No, I haven't seen those.
They were showing pictures of it, and actually, if you go to Yahoo right now, that it's a part of their little frames of information and stuff that they do. And what's unusual about, because it's in the Rockies, there hasn't really been any snow this year up there. So normally it's covered by now, and you don't get to see how the water looks. And the water froze so quickly, there's all these gas bubbles and stuff that basically got frozen. And you get to see it because there's no snow. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's really, really cool looking. And there's a couple shots in there where they're actually a beautiful, like, sunset or sunrise skyline and stuff like that with this guy. The guy's name was Emmanuel Coop. It was the photographer, and he did a really great job. And the majority of everything that he had done was, basically a lot of that got, almost a flash frozen kind of situation because it got radically cold very quickly. So that's the reason why they've got these really great looking, stuff that's under the water. So just something kind of different to do on that. So do you have any info on that? What's happening with the volcanoes? Any kind of a volcano update?
Not really. They haven't really affected any air travel, so that's probably when you would hear about it. I know, Japan had another earthquake, pretty major.
Japan did?
Yeah, Japan, that was just like within the last week.
Was it like just a little one, or it was major again?
You know, they have some pretty major aftershocks, but they did classify this kind of like a whole separate thing. I know the Southwest, in particular in the south, all that heat now that was there is going towards the east in our United States. And I think everybody's ready for Carmageddon in Southern California. Is that what I hear?
Yeah. They're going to be closing down the 405 for the weekend. And what's really exciting about that is, being a florist, one of our diners from last year, Kathy Elliott, her son is getting married this next weekend, and she's right off the 405. So I am making plans to go down a day early.
You should
so I don't have to
signs.
Be dealing with that.
Aren't they even making t-shirts? They're making t-shirts for this Carmageddon thing, and it's like
the
same.
It's just anything,
telling everybody
you know,
to stay away.
To say, I survived Carmageddon. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, that's a pretty major artery there, isn't it?
The 405 is. I don't know. Would you say it was
is.
major
oh,
Gloria?
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Okay. She's saying, oh yes, definitely.
Right.
So, I'm only familiar artery. With a small area of the 405 off the, so like from the 91 over to like the 22. That's about the only area of the 405 that I really know very well.
Mm-hmm.
405 is always packed, always. It
yeah.
used to be
yeah.
that you could take it at like 3 in the morning and actually get somewhere, and not anymore. It literally, it's busy all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said, I'm planning on going down the day early, so I'm basically bypassing all that. So there you go. There you go.
Are you bringing flowers?
I am. I'm bringing a whole bunch of flowers for the wedding.
Right.
And I'm just, the good news, too, is it's, we're going to have a cool weekend. So I'm happy about that, too. So my flowers are going to be happy. So it's all working out beautifully.
And how's the weather? Has it been below normal or is it kind of nicer now?
It's pleasant right now because we're actually in the low 80s. And there's
That's
a
not
chance,
bad.
There's a kind of a chance of some sprinkles this weekend, which would be fine.
Right.
Yeah. So that'll keep it nice and cool. And flowers like rain, so I'm good with that.
Oh, right.
Well, that's okay. So that's totally okay. Well, just to remind our listeners, Dr. Stephen Ward, he has been on quite a few times in the past. He's in the process of writing his first book detailing all the information he has about chiropractic and how it can really change your life from just a spinal level. And he's second generation chiropractor, and he's very much involved with that book. He's going to be coming on next week. We're going to start working on some of the different chapters. I think he's got 12 chapters in his first book, and we're going to be kind of working our way through a couple of them this next show. I don't know. It's a half hour, and it goes super fast. I mean, you may just focus in on one, so that's really cool. So we encourage everybody to come back next week, and if you want to contact us prior to that, and if you have any questions, or you can go ahead and contact us at the Transformation Cafe, which is very, very cool. So what did you guys do for the 4th? Anything just super exciting you'd want to share on the radio, right here on the cafe?
Nothing really. We just sat around.
I think everybody was. It's like I was kind of worried about Carmageddon, so I didn't want to get caught in anything out there. They're naming it Carmageddon for that, but I'm like, no, it's just Carmageddon, and I'm going to do that other stuff. So, you know, it's all good. So, my Macy's had the TV program where they had shown the Hudson. Is it Hudson Bay right there, right off the with the. I'm probably not, you know, I'm not familiar with the New York area at all. Right there with the Statue of Liberty. What river area is that? Do you guys know?
It's the Hudson
River?
It's the Hudson.
Huh? Or is it the Potomac? I don't
know. I'd have to look it up.
I'm sorry for anybody who's out here like going, don't you know? And I'm like, no, I don't know, because I'm a California girl. So, but anyway, they had just a really wonderful fireworks show that they had on TV. And you know, you can watch a lot of stuff on TV, and it's almost like, yeah, I get to sit here in my jammies and watch the fireworks, and I don't have to worry about all that stuff. So that's all very cool. So, but that was really good. So we're hoping everybody had a safe 4th, and we could take a few moments to appreciate our freedom and our free will, the ability to you know, worship and speak and have all the different wonderful things of living in America. It's quite a gift, and I'm very grateful for that. So that's all really good.
We should all be happy and feel blessed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, as always, our half an hour goes super fast. So I thank you guys again, Jamie and Gloria, for coming on. And I look forward again to having you guys come into the cafe. And again, any of our listeners, whether you're listening live or want to go ahead and come by demand, go ahead and give us a call back on any kind of questions. And we'll see you next time at the Transformation Cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special. And we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.